It's time for another episode of The Scoop. Get ready to talk Temple Athletics with John DiCarlo, Kyle Gauss, Matt Vender, and Dalton Balthaser.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Season 2, Episode 30 of The Scoop. I'm Dalton Balthaser, joined by my occasional Tuesday Big 5 Hall of Famer, John DiCarlo. How's it going, John?
Oh, thanks. I didn't know I was getting that honor. I appreciate it. And as of now, we are. It's still just you and I.
Yeah.
Matt's going to be joining us in a little bit. Kyle, I think this is Kyle's way of just saying he doesn't love us anymore. I don't know. Come back to us, buddy.
Work calls.
Yeah. He says he's going to be at the spring game Saturday. Do we know that? I don't know.
I'm not sure.
I don't know. I mean, he's kind of like that guy who says he's coming home for dinner and just never does. We miss you, buddy. Come back to us.
Maybe he'll resurface for
sure. Should be back next week, I hope. And Matt should be joining us a little bit later.
But yeah, we have a lot of good stuff coming up on the show today. The tight ends and the specialists, the kickers and punters were made available to the media today. We'll get into that. And we'll talk about the spring game. The Cherry and White game will be this Saturday. Is it noon at Edberg Olsen Hall on Saturday?
Yes.
Cherry and White game?
Yep.
At noon. So we'll talk about that, talk about the prep for that game, what we are looking to see as this is kind of our benchmark to what the team may look like come September when they head to South Bend to play Notre Dame. But John, you were there today talking to some tight ends, talking to the kickers and punters. What were your impressions of what you saw there today as we get closer and closer to the spring game on Saturday?
I mean, again, we only see the last 20 to 25 minutes. These practices, they seem to run over a little bit longer. Again, so I would caution everybody and remind them that we only see a small portion of practice. I would tell you that there were, in the time that we were there, a lot of drop passes. I wouldn't say any of the quarterbacks looked particularly good, but again, they could have looked better in the early part of practice. Logan March, he had Ventel Bryan open on a sideline route. He had at least 5 yards of separation, just underthrew him. Anthony Russo was a victim of, he threw a pick, but it went through Broderick Yancey's hands. I think it went through Broderick Yancey's hands, bounced into the hands of Sam Franklin for an interception. So there was an interception there. Just, they were not overly crisp in the scrimmaging portion of the practice that we saw, and then it went to kicking. I'll say Aaron Bomeri looks as good as he did last year. There are some other kickers on the roster. The ball just sounds different when his foot hits it. So, I mean, he's firmly entrenched as the kicker. But, you know, some other guys, again, in talking to Ed Foley, he was the coach who was available to talk today. We talked to the tight ends. We'll get to that in a second. But, you know, again, it's I think the theme of this spring is you see a lot of new athleticism, a lot of new faces. It's just a matter of getting the guys polished. Again, in the time that we were there, the offense didn't look particularly sharp. There were a lot of drops, a couple passes that were overthrown and underthrown, but who knows what happened before we got there. You know, the standbys at receiver, Ventel Bryant, you know, Keith Kirkwood, Adonis Jennings look like they're running good routes. You know, Raquel Armstead looks good, looks strong. You know, I think that it's now a matter of getting guys like David Hood. Even Tylee Grainer was getting some carries in there today. Jagger Gardner, they got to find that number two back. We did see Isaiah Wright lining up with, I guess, what might be the second and third team offense, getting some reps at receiver, going over the middle. But we did see some drops, still some sloppy play. Ed Foley did say in his conversation with us, he said not one of these four quarterbacks is ready to start a game right now, but they will be after August. And I think that's a pretty fair assessment of where things are right now. So again, some sloppy play. We'll see what happens Saturday. And even Saturday, I think we've probably said this in years past, I doubt that, you know, the spring game's a fun event. It's an opportunity to see some new players, see some of the older faces who come back, some of the previous players. You never know who you're going to see in the crowd, which is a cool thing. Who knows? That could be wrong, but you'll probably see like a baseball offense, base defense, nothing too spectacular, but you'll see some of the guys getting out there running, catching, throwing, stuff like that. But they still have their work to do on offense based off what we saw today.
And Ed Foley did speak with the media, and he talked about Kenny Yeboah, the tight end, who was kind of trying to take the spot of Colin Thompson and Ramon Deloach last year. Ramon Deloach being the leading pass catcher for the tight ends, and Colin Thompson being more of the blocking tight end. So here's what Ed Foley had to say about Kenny Yeboah and his progress so far through the spring.
Yeah, Kenny's made some plays, and you know, he's a young buck, but he's athletic, and he knows how to go get the ball, which has been refreshing, because you see him running around in the offseason, and you can see he's got some athleticism. He's a basketball kid learning how to play football. But he had kind of a knack for making plays. And we hit some plays in the red zone with him. I think he had a touchdown like 5 or 6 practices in a row. And all of a sudden, you do those things, and then you're a playmaker. So he's got a little bit of that in him, which I like to see. He's got a long way to go in some of the other aspects of learning how to be a real Temple tight end in terms of the toughness and the physicalness. But I like his playmaking ability, and I like him because he works too. So he's in every night, and he's asking a lot of questions and at a high level. I think he's working, and the work is paying off for him on the field. So I'm really happy with some of the things he's done this spring.
So there's Ed Foley talking about Kenny Eboah and his progress so far this year. And John, there have been some other tight ends Ed Foley was talking about as well that made some improvements and have made some progress so far this spring.
Yeah, when we talked to Ed, he's brought this guy's name up a couple of times. He talked about, he said the one guy that nobody's talking about is Chris Myrick, and he's from went to Cheltenham High School, walked on. But I think he had a catch. What did Ed say? I think he had a catch. He said he had a catch. Yeah, he had a reception in the Penn State game. And has just been kind of the steady guy that no one's really talking about. So he went out of his way to praise Chris Myrick again because nobody really asked about him today. Most of the focus has been on Kenny Eboah. Steve Petrick had a chance to talk to him. Steve, as we're looking at things right now, Steve is a little bit more the bruising, blocking tight end. He's gotten bigger, faster, and stronger, that whole thing. Western PA kid. Kenny Eboah might be a little bit more along the lines of what you saw with Kip Patton, a guy that can be athletic, get down the field. Although Steve told me, he said, hey, I'm looking to be a complete tight end too. I'd love to go up and catch the ball as well. So they have, again, I'd say tight end and linebacker, and obviously quarterback are those three like wide open positions. You've got some holdovers. Definitely your safeties are Chandler and Delvon Randall. You have an idea for the most part of who your corners are, but things are wide open at tight end, wide open at linebacker, wide open at quarterback. So I think those are those three positions you're looking at. So again, there are some interesting faces there. Jake Robinson's kind of in the mix too. But again, Foley said that Myrick has been pretty steady. But Kenny Eboah seems to be, at this time, the most intriguing of the targets in terms of his athleticism, his ability to really go up and get the ball. I had a chance to talk to Kenny just one-on-one for a few minutes. And here's that entire interview here, so you can listen to Kenny. It's just talking about where he's improved. And I think all these guys, and Kenny talks about, you know, how having Ed Foley around as a holdover from the previous staff has really helped him. So here's my conversation with Kenny Eboah.
Just talk to Ed Foley, your position coach. You see, you've been having a good spring. Why do you think that is? What's been going well for you?
I mean, I've just been practicing my technique and everything that he's been helping me with. Because, I mean, last year was my first year actually playing tight end. So he's just been teaching me, like, my footwork and just trying to get, like, the real, real basics down.
Where do you think you've, like, beyond that, what do you think, like, if you had to look yourself – like last year, you're coming in, every freshman wants to play, but you're redshirted. Where do you think you are from last year to now?
Honestly, as a player, I think I'm a way, way better blocker. I mean, I've developed in blocking the run game. That's what I'm really trying to develop right now because in high school, I played wide receiver. So, like, Coach Foley always tells me that comes natural to me, the receiving aspect of the game. So he just wants me to become a better blocker overall.
What about, like, your athleticism is obviously a big help for you. I mean, people talked about that in high school. Ed just mentioned that you can go up and get the ball in traffic. Is that just a fun part of the game? Is that what it comes down to when you're going up against a defensive back or even a linebacker?
Yeah.
Is that kind of like what you guys like look forward to more than anything? Is that, get those catches like that?
Yeah, that's definitely what I look forward to. I mean, that's what I love to do, run the fade ball and just go up and get the ball one-on-one. That's what I used to do in high school, and that's what I try to continue to do in college, just go up one-on-ones and just win one-on-one battles.
What's camp been like with just the newness of everything? I mean, you still get to deal with a coach you're familiar with, but new head coach, wide open tight end battle, wide open quarterback battle, there's a lot of competition. What has that vibe been like?
The vibe's been great. I mean, everybody's competing hard 100% every day, just working hard, working on their technique, working on fundamentals. So, I mean, I just love practice. Coach Collins is a great guy, and I just love being here, being with Coach Foley. He definitely has developed me so much, and I'm just grateful for him.
Did you talk to, like, as last season was kind of coming to a close, did you talk to Colin and those guys, and if so, what'd you pick their brain about?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, definitely Colin still comes in sometimes. Roman still comes in sometimes, and they always used to help me and Steve out. They always used to want us to get better, so even though we weren't playing, they would still focus on us. They wouldn't just throw us off to the side because we weren't playing, and they knew that we wanted to work hard and we wanted to play next year, so they would just tell us what to do. They would help us, and they would be like a second-hand coach on top of Coach Foley, so it was a big help.
Well, what's it like? I mean, when you guys line up, you're getting the ball from, I mean, past couple of years, I mean, you weren't here 2 years ago, but it's been PJ's job, and he was one of the best quarterbacks to ever play here. Now the quarterback position is wide open. You could have Frank throwing to you. You could have Logan, Todd, Anthony. Is it any different, or is it kind of just, hey, we got to line up no matter who's throwing us the ball?
I mean, it's no different. We just line up, and whoever goes, they're all great quarterbacks. Toddy, incoming freshman, Russo, Logan, and Frank, they're all great quarterbacks. So we just go. We don't look who it is. We just know that someone's going to be good and just throw us the ball. So we just go and just play 100% every time.
And when you're lining up, who's kind of stood out to you on defense on the other side of the ball?
Definitely Sean Bradley, Sam Franklin, Isaiah Graham Mobley, DeAndre Kelly, Sharif, players like that. They all stand out to me. They make plays, and you just got to try to block them. So that's definitely what I've been focusing on.
Are you getting a closer look at those? Yeah, I get like just like the tight end positions are wide open. Same thing with the linebackers. And they're a taller, maybe more athletic group. Has it kind of been fun to go up against those guys?
Oh, yeah, it's definitely fun going up against them. I mean, they're going to make us work hard and go hard at every play, everything that we're doing. So it's definitely fun to go against someone that's just as good as you.
With a new staff, has it helped? I mean, the practices, I mean, obviously we're not out there practicing with you guys, but it still feels the same. It's upbeat, music, same vibe, and it looks like you guys really haven't missed a beat there. Did Jeff kind of come in and kind of give you guys a look like, well, I'm not gonna fix something that isn't broken in terms of the pace of practice? It seems the same. Is that, you think that's the case?
Yeah, definitely. It still is the same. I mean, Coach Collins is all about juice. He loves that when we have juice. If someone scores, and no matter what, we all just hype it up and just go crazy. So that's what he really likes. And I mean, I just like practice how it's been up tempo. He likes being up tempo and going fast. That's what he says this league is really about. So that's what we're continuing to focus on.
So there's John talking to Kenny Yeboah about his progress so far during the spring. And, you know, we're only a couple of days away from the spring game. John, what are some things that you're looking to see on Saturday out of this Temple team? There's a lot of new faces, obviously, a new offensive coordinator, new head coach, new defensive coordinator. There's a lot of new guys out there. What are you expecting to see? Is there a position that you're really looking to see? Obviously, quarterback is a big talking point, and you said the linebackers is kind of weak as well. Is there a position or certain players that you're looking to see how they play in actual game scenarios?
Yeah, I would say, you know, the quarterbacks and the linebackers. And again, we're not going to see, at least I would think, we're not going to see Dave Patnode's full offense. No college coach in the country is really going to put their full playbook on display. It's more to get the guys some reps, get them out there in front of fans, give the fans something to cheer about and be excited about. But you can still see, you can still gauge some arm strength, you can still gauge some accuracy. You can still gauge just some playmaking ability. I mean, these guys aren't, I imagine the quarterbacks are not going to be live, you know, for the most part. We'll probably see maybe a couple of, like, you know, quirky scoring tactics in terms of how the defense is going to get points and stuff like that. But it may sound like the most basic thing to say, but I'm just interested to see which of these four quarterbacks, or if all of them, just hit on their throws. You know, there were a couple of, yeah, again, like I think when Logan misfired on that throw to, I think it was Ventel Bryant today, you know, Matt turned to me and said, that may not just be an offense thing. Like, the guy is open, you got to hit him, you know, regardless of who your new offensive coordinator is. So, you know, if there's some deep throws over the middle, you know, I think it's an opportunity for these guys to still prove themselves. Again, the whole offense is not going to be unfurled. There's more install to do in August and stuff like that. But you just want to see if these guys can hit people in stride, if they look like they just have a command of anything out there. You know, I think it's just a chance for even guys like Frank Neutile and Anthony Russo to prove that they can get out of the pocket a little bit. They're not going to run it as well as Todd Senteo can, maybe not even as well as Logan Marchie can, but it's going to be a big day for those guys. And then again, at linebacker, you know, we've talked about this in the past, how Phil Snow has said, I love these linebackers that I have in terms of Avery Williams, you know, Stephon Marshall, guys like Tyler Matakevich in the past. But I wouldn't have recruited to that profile. I would have recruited taller, leaner, stronger guys. So now you have that with, now Jared Folks has been out of the mix and hurt. They're hoping to have him back by August. But I'd say, you know, Sean Bradley in the middle at linebacker, Sam Franklin, guys like that. That I'm looking to see like what those guys can do, how they tackle, how they can make plays. Those are the two positions I'd really be keyed in on. You know, obviously I think you kind of know what you're getting at receiver. You know what you're getting at the starting running back position. I should mention, too, that when we did talk to Ed Foley earlier today, I just asked him, as a veteran assistant, who else has stood out to you just in terms of the redshirt freshman? And he went on and on and on about Matt Hennessy, just raved about him and said he's about as good as any center as we've had here. And this, you're talking about a guy who got into a game very, very briefly in this, you know, last season, and then got the medical redshirt and compared him to a guy named Alex Darenthal, who was part of, like, the first team that Al Golden had. And Alex was pretty good. I believe he's coaching either at a small college or in high school level, somewhere down in either Georgia or Florida. But he met it as pretty high praise. So, yeah, I mean, it's good to see just like what kind of command he has of the offensive line, because he could be a big upgrade over Brendan McGowan, even though he really doesn't have much experience. Ed Foley seems really, really high on him. It'll be interesting to see how Aaron Bromary punts the ball, unless Alex Starzik is coming off a suspension and punting in the spring game, which I doubt. You'll see how Aaron Bromary punts it. Ed Foley did say today, you know, hopefully we'll have Alex back with us in August, so we'll see. But I think that that linebacker spot and the quarterback spot are going to be the two to watch, and the tight ends too. Yeah. See what Kenny Yeboah does, see what Steve Patrick does. But I think that's what I'm going to be focused in on. What about you?
I think for me, I think the offense is really interesting because you're going to have a new quarterback. You're going to have probably three of the best wide receivers in the conference in Adonis Jennings, Keith Kirkwood, and Ventel Bryant. And then you're going to have Raquel Armstead returning from that duo that was the only duo in college football to rush for 13 rushing touchdowns and over 900 yards apiece with Jahad Thomas. I think it's going to be interesting. I'm interested to see the offensive line, and I'm interested to see how the quarterbacks perform, as you said, because the offensive line we saw last year early on, it was really tough for Philip Walker to stay in the pocket and make passes. And I think with a new, inexperienced quarterback, whether it's a junior like New Tyler or Marchie or a redshirt freshman like Russo or Todd Senteo, I think you're going to see whether they're going to be able to command the pocket and be able to protect the quarterback and give rushing lanes. You're going to lose Deion Dawkins to the draft, who could maybe go to the end of the first round or maybe even early second round. That was a real stable point in that left side of the line, good rushing lanes that Raquel Armstead and John Thomas had last year. I think you got to see what you have there, because I think early on in the season it's going to be a lot of run-heavy offense, especially just trying to get them comfortable, as you see in the NFL with a backup quarterback coming in. You just want to get them comfortable, get them running the football well, establish the run, and if you have chances to, you know, short and immediate, get the ball out of the hands, quick pass, I think that's kind of what we're looking at
there. Yeah, absolutely.
So as we move on to basketball here, it was interesting to see Lynn Greer inducted into the Big Five Hall of Fame. I'm just curious, John, what were your thoughts on Lynn Greer as a player and what that induction means for him?
I would say if you haven't already, read the story that we have up on the website right now. Varun Kumar, a good friend of ours. Varun, a quick digression here. Varun's just a great guy. He is grew up locally, and before I met him, he was on Twitter, and he would chime in with these random like Big Five and Temple memories. Like how we tease him and say, you remember things that you were not alive for, but he's just this old Big Five Philadelphia and like college basketball soul. And he's done some work for a City Basketball Love. He's a student at Pitt, and yet he wanted to write for us, and he loved Lynn Greer growing up. And he did this story on Lynn, and my gosh, he got Lynn, he got John Chaney, he got David Hawkins, he got Kevin Lyde, he got Nate Blackwell, who used to be an assistant coach and one of the great guards at Temple. As Kyle said on Twitter earlier this week, anybody you'd want to hear talking about Lynn Greer, he got him. Talked about how the late, great Claude Gross, who used to coach in the Sunny Hill League, gave Lynn the advice he needed to make the decision in terms of staying home and going to Temple. He just got so much great stuff. So I would really highly recommend reading that story. It's long, but there's just so many good details in there. So check that story out if you haven't. It's up on the front page and up on the site. In terms of Lynn as a player, I mean, he was really one of the best to ever play, not just at Temple, but in the city. Really unflappable. Beautiful left-handed shot. He didn't strike you as super athletic, but he was still athletic enough and just knew how to control his body, get people in the air. I think the thing that he's known for a lot of things, scoring more than 2,000 points, but Lynn was the catalyst for the last great run in March the Temple basketball has had, going to that 2001 Elite Eight. That was not one of John Chaney's better, in terms of like deeper teams the year before, and Varun talks about this in the story. In 2000, they were loaded, absolutely loaded. That looked like the team that was going to get John to the Final Four, and they lost in the second round. It was one of the more difficult losses in the history of the program. A guy named Ty Shine, backup point guard Seton Hall, just hit a bunch of threes over that matchup zone, knocked them out in the second round when Temple was a two seed. The following year, they didn't have a great regular season, so then the A-10 semifinals, Lynn draws contact from a George Washington player, gets three shots at the foul line. Tom Penders, who was then the coach at GW, was going nuts on the sideline. Lynn hits these three free throws. They really just snatch victory from the jaws of defeat and then go on to beat UMass in the A-10 championship game, and then they go to the Elite Eight that year. And it just goes to show you how unpredictable a game college basketball is. They had talent. I mean, they had Lynn, they had Quincy Wadley, they had Kevin Lyde, had Alex Wesby, had a young David Hawkins, and then their run came to an end in the Elite Eight against Michigan State. but they don't get there without Lynn pulling that game out. It was just knowing how to draw contact, gets to the line, and he really single-handedly won that game. That, to me, really signifies like what he was able to do. And then the following year, his senior year, he had a redshirt senior year because he took a medical redshirt the one year. He took a shot to the orbital bone against Penn State. A guy named Calvin Booth elbowed him in the face, just under the eye. And Lynn put up some of his best numbers the following year. He scored 47 at Wisconsin. The year before, just getting them on their way to the tournament, that does not happen. That last lead eight run literally does not happen without Lynn Greer. So he was just so under control. Like I said, beautiful left-handed shot, just a beautiful shooting stroke, quiet but tough and just really unassuming. And, you know, I don't know that they've had a guard like him since. Khalif Wyatt's been good. You know, Deontay Christmas has been good. They all have their different personalities. Lynn was just a stone-cold, focused sniper who just literally just played the game, the risk of sounding like Larry Brown, played the game the right way and was just really, really good, really precise, had a great career overseas, played with the Milwaukee Bucks for a little bit. His son is a freshman out, Roman Catholic. I think we've talked about him before, but he was just a treat to watch. Really, really good player.
And you can check out that piece by Varun on AlScoop.com. And you can read more about Lynn Greer and his importance to Temple basketball, Philadelphia basketball, and his induction into the Big Five Hall of Fame. So it's time for our sometimes serious and sometimes silly mailbag. We appreciate the questions on Twitter and the message boards. Our first question comes from our buddy Pat Egan. Has anyone in practice surprised you, the players or the coaches? Also, describe the most annoying person at a dog park.
I would say, I mean, maybe like two guys jump out to me in terms of guys that have surprised, and maybe they haven't surprised the coaches. I mentioned Chris Myrick earlier. A little surprised to hear Ed Foley continue to mention him as a guy in the mix at tight end. So, you know, he could be, again, a guy that's maybe it's a fixture there in terms of being a blocker, in terms of being a pass catcher. And the other guy that I think of, I wouldn't have said to you, he wouldn't have jumped out to me as a factor at this position because I didn't really know where quite he was going to line up. But Sam Franklin, a linebacker, even I got a good look at him today, and he's definitely not a middle linebacker. He doesn't have that type of build. He's definitely more of an outside linebacker. Still looks a little bit more like a safety, but he's really jumped out, and he's really flashed there. He has a lot of athletic ability. Looks like a guy who could start at either the strong side or weak side spot. It looks like Sean Bradley's job to lose in the middle. But I would say Sam Franklin, Chris Myrick. I'm sure some other guys will jump out a little bit more as I take in maybe one more practice. The final practice would be the spring game. They'll have one more practice Thursday and then the spring game Saturday. But those two guys are the two that I think of. Most annoying person at a dog park. You can't answer this because you're allergic to dogs.
Yeah, I will not be in a dog park anytime soon.
I would say anybody, I've seen this type of person every once in a while, somebody looks like they're just taking it too seriously. Like they're almost there to show off their dog, which is, look, I post more pictures than I should on social media of my dog. Oh, look at who is joining us. If you can get the door, none other than Matthew Vender jumping in on the scoop as we get into our mailbag here.
We'll bring
the big guy in. We're at the mailbag portion. Matt's walking into the studio. We're on our first mailbag question here. Running in. Light jog. So, Pat, first question is from Pat Egan here. Has anyone in practice surprised you guys or the coaches? Also, describe the most annoying person at a dog park. I said the two guys that have surprised me, and Ed Foley's mentioned it before, but he mentioned Chris Myrick. He keeps saying, like, hey, everybody forgets about Chris Myrick. He's a walk-on tight end, but he's kind of in the mix. I also said that I don't know that at the beginning of spring that I would have thought that Sam Franklin would maybe be a factor for one of those starting outside linebacker spots. Anybody that's jumped out to you who's kind of surprised you?
I think Matt Hennessy's a guy that obviously I think Ed Foley referred to him as dynamite today.
Yeah.
I think we all had kind of high expectations for him after, you know, he started in a game last year at guard. I think it was against Charlotte last year. So, I mean, I think we all had relatively high expectations, but he's come in and pretty much, I mean, I think we can say that he's the favorite to be the starting center at this point in time. I didn't know if I expected him to be this good this quickly. Sam Franklin, I would definitely agree with you. I didn't see him coming in and competing the way he has for that starting linebacker spot. And I didn't know if I'd envision Sean Bradley making this much of a splash.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's helped that Jared Folks has been out with an injury. So, you know, I think that middle linebacker spot's been open, and Sean Bradley really seems to, you know, be taking that opportunity and running with it. He came up with an interception today just in practice from what
we got to see. Went through Broderick Yancey's hands, right?
That one went through Jake Robbins' hands. Broderick Yancey had a bad drop.
Yeah, so I was wrong earlier. But,
yeah, I mean, it was an interception that kind of went right into his hands, but nonetheless, a nice pick. We've seen him make a bunch of plays this spring. So those would be kind of the guys that seem to be the coaches keep bringing them up and guys that, you know, we see make plays on a regular basis.
And John's most annoying person at a dog park is the showman that shows off his dog. Do you have a most annoying person at a dog park?
That's a good one, John. I like the showman, although I can sometimes be a showman at times.
I would imagine you just like being lighthearted with your dog.
Yeah. Him, like, I mean, I'm like cocky because I think my dog is like the best, so you know, I like to brag about him.
He's a cute dog, though.
I would just say like the most annoying dog owner to me is somebody that's just like on their phone constantly, not paying attention to their dog. And if their dog is, you know, a little bit reckless and can get into some trouble, and you're an owner that's just sitting there like on your phone, not paying attention to your dog, and your dog's just causing trouble. Like my dog can sometimes, you know, get like pounced at the dog park if we're not careful. So, you know, like people have to keep an eye on their dog, and that's one thing that really bothers me at the dog park.
Imagine Dalton at a dog park, like, I'm sorry. You'd be like really polite, like, I'm so sorry, I can't pet you.
I can't breathe.
Like, you're cute, but no, I can't. Please get away. Someone get this dog away from me.
That's probably pretty accurate. Yeah. Next question comes from Temple Sports Guy on Twitter. There's a couple questions here. We'll go with the first one here. The first offensive snap versus Notre Dame, project the starters, and the same for the defense as well. So I guess we can assume Raquel Armstead's the running back.
Yeah, I mean, let's assume they line up in the eye and they Sharga's out there. So you got Sharga fullback, Raquel tailback. You want to go O line before we get to the quarterback?
Yeah, so you have Leon Johnson at left tackle, you'd say.
Yeah, probably Leon at left tackle.
Jovan Fair at
left guard. Matt Hennessy at center. Sullivan at right guard, and then Jalen Robinson at right tackle.
Yeah.
So if they line up with, if it's Sharga, then you get
one tight end.
One tight end. Where do we go? Kenny Yeboah there.
Yeah.
Or maybe they line up with Myrick to start.
I don't know Myrick. I mean, Red Foley did call him the most consistent guy they have at tight end right now. I think they're all going to play. Yeboah's going to play.
Sure.
Patrick's going to play. Myrick's going to play. But, yeah, I mean, I think Meyer might be he'd probably be my pick to be the starter.
Yeah. And then your receivers, I guess, what? Kirkwood?
Probably Kirkwood and Ventel.
Yeah. With Adonis Jennings, obviously, in the mix. Quarterback? We were just kind of saying, before you came in, I was saying that, I mean, again, limited time we were there, none of the guys really looked impressive today. They did, to be fair, they weren't helped by drops.
Yeah.
And Ed Foley said, I'm not sure if any of these guys are really ready to start right now, but by August they will. Are we going Logan on this?
I mean, yeah, I think Logan's the pick that I'd go with for now. But, I mean, we were talking about it at practice today. Have we seen – I mean, today was just, I think, an especially sloppy practice from what we got to see. But, like, I just – all spring, I don't know if we've seen one quarterback especially make a play where you go, wow. That's the guy. Yeah, I just haven't seen that yet.
Yeah, and on defense, right?
Yeah.
Let's stay with offense for a second. Anybody you're thinking of that we're not thinking of? Anybody that you think could sneak in there?
For some reason, I feel like Marchie is the best candidate to be the quarterback. He's mobile. He can throw on the run, and he has some experience. While 5 or 6 passes isn't a lot of experience in college, it's the same with Newtile as well. I feel like it's going to be a game or two if they're not liking what they see out of him, or whether it's Anthony Russo who they pick, or Frank Newtile, or Todd Senteo. I think they're going to switch it up. I think they give him a couple games leash, see what they get. If they don't like it, I think it's move on to the next guy. So I think it's up for grabs at that point. I think as far as the rest of the offensive players, I agree with that. I think Adonis Jennings could be a great. We saw it against Navy. He was running some reverses out of the slot and making some plays across the field. And I think I saw something on Twitter about him really improving his performance at spring ball as well.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, Adonis, not to say that it's not a knock on Adonis to say that he's not a starter. I mean, this is an elite group of receivers that they have, and Adonis might be the fastest guy on the team. I mean, he's a really, really good receiver. He proved it in the bowl game. He proved it in the conference championship game. And I think, you know, they're going to spread the ball around a lot this year. So if he's not one of those starting two outside receivers, he's still going to be playing a lot of snaps.
Mm-hmm. So on the defensive side, obviously the two safeties are Sean Chandler and Delvon Randall.
Yep.
And then cornerbacks, you have Derek Thomas,
I'm
Foster.
I'm not so sure. So I think you're only... Let's talk about this for a second. This will be kind of interesting at corner. I mean, yeah, Derek Thomas and Archel Foster are the holdovers there, but they brought up Linwood Crump's name a lot. Kareem Ali, I think, is at least maybe your first like slot corner, because again, as we talk about starters, it depends on what formation they come out and stuff like that. I don't know. Derek Thomas is the most size out of all of them, but again, Linwood Crump seems to be closing some ground. Archel Foster played a lot last year.
I think Linwood Crump might be one of my two starters. I think he's looked. I didn't mention him in Pat's question, and maybe I should have. He's looked really, really good from what we've seen in spring ball.
Yeah.
And he competes against those receivers as well as any of the cornerbacks they have, I think. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'd say Linwood Crump would be one, and then I still think Archel Foster is probably on the other end.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Mike Jones is going to play a lot.
I forgot about Mike Jones. I would say Mike Jones is probably one of the starters just because of his experience. And people keep saying, like, you know, Todd McShay mentioned him as a guy who could have been drafted in the 6th or 7th round this year. We don't know that for sure. Yeah. Still got to see how he is against, not to take away from what he did in his previous college stop, but I do want to, I'll still be interested to see how he does against, you know, some guys in this league, you know, if they play, when they're playing Tulsa, when they're playing Notre Dame, let's see how he does there. But I'd say maybe, so in that case, maybe it's Mike Jones and maybe Archel Foster, or I still think Linwood Crump is as fast as any of them, I'd say. Mm-hmm. Derek Thomas still has value just because he's just so damn tall and athletic. He's still learning how to play the position, but that's a position that I still think is kind of up for grabs. So maybe Jones, this is his last year, he's a grad transfer, so maybe he's got the one spot locked down, and maybe Archer at the other spot.
Mm-hmm. How about the linebackers? You mentioned Sam Franklin earlier, Sean Bradley.
I go, what, Bradley in the middle, Sam Franklin, trying to think of where I've seen him, if he was playing strong side or weak side. Folks, I guess if he's healthy, I don't know if he's in the middle and then you bounce Bradley outside.
Yeah, maybe you could bounce Bradley outside, but I mean the way Bradley's played this spring, you would think he's putting himself in a position where they're not going to be hesitant to potentially keep him there and maybe Folks is the backup. I mean, I think the way Bradley's played, he's looked like a starter.
Yeah, and he I remember last year's spring game, you know, Bradley came up with a big hit, and Chappelle Russell came up with a big hit. So both of them kind of flashed last year. Now it looks like just with a year under his belt, he also just looks like he belongs. He looks confident. You know, talking to somebody else on the sidelines today, they mentioned him as a guy who's kind of exerted himself as a leader, too. And he was a really good athlete at Rancocas Valley. I don't think anybody expected him to be this good. And again, he's got to go out on the field and improve it, but he just looks like the guy in the middle. Mm-hmm. I guess maybe Kwenku's that other guy, mm-hmm. William Kwenku, yeah. The other outside
and you
spot.
Mentioned Chappelle Russell. I mean, I think he'd definitely have a chance to be in there as one of the starters, but he tore his ACL.
Prior to the Tulane game,
so that's like mid-November you're looking at. So, you know, I don't know if he is back for fall camp. Is he full strength? Mm-hmm. Who knows? But, I mean, Andrew Thacker last week did say he expects he expects Russell and Folks to be back for fall camp, so we'll see about that. But, you know, I think Russell would be in the mix whenever he comes back.
Mm-hmm. Defensive line?
I guess, maybe Jacob Martin at one defensive end spot. Dogby and Freddie Booth Lloyd at the tackles?
Yeah, that's probably right. And then, I mean, I would say Sharif Finch, but the problem is, I mean, the health issues. Maybe he's the technical starter, but how many snaps is he actually playing?
Yeah, because he's just, he's going to be dealing with chronic knee issues probably just for the rest of his career. Now, when he plays, he's good. I mean, he still had that. I mean, he had one of the most exciting plays in that Penn State game 2 years ago. He picked off that pass, almost brought it back to the house. Really smart kid, really strong kid, long, strong guy. But if I had to name four starters, would you go with that? I mean, again, there are guys that they can rotate in.
Mm-hmm.
I'd probably go Sharif and Jacob at the ends, maybe Dogby and Freddie Booth Lloyd inside. But gosh, Karamo Diabate is in the mix there.
To see Dana Levine, I think he has a shot to be one of those starting defensive ends. His name's come up, and he seems to be having a good spring.
Next question from Temple Sports Guy on Twitter. Favorite away game destination and most pleasantly surprising away game destination?
I mean, it sounds like the cliche answer. The trip to Notre Dame a few years ago was pretty cool. I would say the vibe of being out there, the knowledge of their fans. I always say this when I was walking from the car up to the stadium. if people, a couple people saw me just carrying like a laptop bag and a credential, and they're like, "Oh, who are you to cover?" They seem like an engaging fan base. I'm sure, look, every fan base has its share of idiots. Just a different vibe than going to cover a game at Penn State where there's a little bit more of a cult mentality. I'll just be honest with you. Still a little bit of denial up there in terms of like culpability in terms of the previous coaches. But the trip to Notre Dame was really cool. I would put Army up there. Trip to West Point to cover a game there, pretty cool. Trip to Navy to cover a game there, pretty cool. What about you?
I'd say Navy would probably be at the top of my list. I haven't been to Notre Dame. I haven't been to Army yet. I maybe hope to make both of those trips.
You've been to Boca. You went to UCF and USF?
I have not been to UCF. I was at USF, and that's really not a special atmosphere. It's an NFL stadium down in Tampa, so nothing too special with that. I was up at UConn. That's not too special
either. You know what? I'll tell you this. I like most in terms of what was the other question there? Most pleasantly surprised. I like the UConn trip.
Yeah, it's a nice trip.
I don't
trip.
Mind the trip up there. It's funny, like, when you talk to, like, I mean, Kevin Nagandi loves being at ESPN, but he keeps saying, he's like, I miss the food at home. I think Kevin's coming to the spring game Saturday. But he misses the food at home. But I like the trip up to East Hartford. Rentschler Field's a pretty cool place. Again, not anything, like, super unique about it, but when they were a little bit better, and they could get better again under Randy Edsall, when they were a little bit better, there were some fun games up there. I enjoyed the trip up there. We had a good time, earlier this season heading up there. Saw a bit of a better game than we expected. I mean, Temple jumped to that big lead and then really didn't score much after that. But I'd say that'd be maybe the more surprising venue.
Yeah, Navy was the only away game I was at this year, but I really enjoyed. I enjoyed the tradition, the stadium there. You have all the battles on the sideline and stuff. That was really cool as well. In addition to that, will Temple basketball see a legacy recruit in the next 5 years?
They seem like a long shot for Jake Forrester. You know, even just we'll refer back to the story that Varun did this week on Lynn Greer. I mean, I guess any father is going to say this, but Lynn said, "Hey, it's up to him." It doesn't sound like Lynn's like definitely forcing him to come to Temple. I'm just going with my gut here. I'm going to tell you that if it's somewhere along the line, if Aaron McKee's the next head coach, I think he has a stronger tie to past players. I think he just gets their attention. Not that Fran isn't respected. I mean, Fran Dunphy and Lynn Greer are fairly close. I think naming, I'm not saying they're definitely going to. I don't know if it would happen, when it would happen. If Aaron's the next head coach, they have a better chance at legacy recruits. But in terms of one over the next 5 years...
Yeah, I wouldn't put my money on.
I wouldn't. I honestly, not at this point, because I think things are still up in the air with Lynn's kid. Now he's got 3 more years after this, but I can't say any of them are slam dunk right now.
I do agree with you on the point that you made about McKee. I mean, even today I was sitting eating lunch at Chipotle, and I see McKee's walking by with Mick Kilgore and Rick Brunson. So you kind of see, I mean, McKee does have those relationships with those guys that Dunphy or some other guys probably wouldn't have as much so.
You know who could have ensured that there would have been a legacy recruit at Temple? Rick Brunson. But, Rick. Anyway.
Did anyone watch the John Calipari 30 for 30 thoughts and favorite ESPN 30 for 30?
I did not. So you said you've seen the Coach Cal 30 for 30. I have not.
Did you see it, Matt?
I haven't gotten a chance to watch it yet, but I definitely want to check it out.
Yeah, it was definitely very good. I enjoyed it. I always enjoy the 30 for 30s. They're very detail-oriented, very, you know, relatable in some sense. I enjoyed the whole one-and-done aspect and how he embraced the one-and-done aspect where, you know, that was his niche, as we call it in the journalism industry. You know, you had Kansas, you had Duke, that they were getting those three, you know, the guys that were staying 3-4 years, but Calipari had to find a way to find that niche. And I thought it was just a really interesting chronicle of how he treats his players and how he prepares them through the next step. They had Derrick Rose on there talking about his time at Memphis and stuff like that. And it was always nice to see John Chaney, wanting to kill him in that video. that was always
one thing I should have done last week. Andrew Goldstein does a good John Chaney impersonation. I thought about that. I mean, I definitely had him on for a good amount of time, but I would have wanted to ask him to do his Chaney impersonation. But a lot of people were texting me saying like, "You got to see this." It was really good.
But favorite ESPN 30 for 30, do you have one?
I don't know if I do. To be honest with you, I got to catch up on a lot of them. I haven't seen the Calipari one. When was the last one I saw? Maybe the one they did about Miami. They did do a 30 for 30 about Miami. Yeah, that was good.
Yeah,
just because any, you know, that they were like a generational program at the time where they were just like, they were a brand, just like Georgetown basketball was a brand at the time with John Thompson. So when I watched the one in Miami, you just had a lot of memories coming back. Like, they were like, you know, at the time, they were just as much a brand, a New York Yankees type of like college football brand as like Notre Dame was. So I would say maybe the one in Miami, I guess.
My favorite? I really like the Christian Laettner one. I think
the Laettner one was good.
The Laettner one was. I think was my favorite. That was a really good one.
Yeah, I like the Laettner one. As you guys know, I'm a golf guy. They had a one on John Daly, hit it hard.
I did see that. That was a good one.
I enjoyed that. You know, he just drinks and smokes all the time and just out there playing golf like no one had ever seen before, especially the distance aspect. So that was one of my favorite. I agree. The Christian Laettner one was very good as well. One last question here in the mailbag from Getsky. Where's the Kyle Gauss and John DeCarlo autograph session taking place Saturday? Fees for the event.
Hey, man, if anybody asks for our autograph, I would be hard-pressed to charge them. But, hey, I just bought a new house, so if we could charge fees, great.
Going to get some sanctions. Yahoo's going to give some sanctions for taking money for autographs.
If anybody's foolish enough to pay for my autograph, then God bless their soul. I should say, hey, Matt, did you get recognized? What was it, a couple weekends ago? He said, I got recognized on campus as Matt Vender of Owl Scoop. And I said, you know who hasn't been recognized recently as like anyone of Owl Scoop? Me. No one recently. I've had some people come up to me like, you're the guy from Owl Scoop, but not recently. Matt just got recognized recently.
Yeah, I guess so.
You know what else we did today? Threw the pigskin around a little bit after practice.
Yeah, that was fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're out on the practice field.
Right, practice is ending. There's a stray ball sitting there at the north end of the field. So Bud Knapp, one of our good friends at Owls 24/7, runs a couple routes. I throw the ball to him. And so Matt takes the ball and puts it by the side because we're going to go in and talk to Ed Foley and talk to the players. As soon as we're done talking to Foley, he comes out. We come out and the ball's gone. So we talk to the players. Still have a bunch of open field around us. I've never seen Matt so excited. He's like, I've got a ball in my car. I'll go get it. Runs out, heads out the gate, comes back, brings back this ball that's kind of flat, chipped away, the pigskin surface of it's chipped away, but still, you know, threw some passes. It was fun.
Was there some talent being shown?
John has a good arm. A very surprisingly good arm.
That's for other people to say. I mean, that's
strength and accuracy.
If I had half the arm John had, I'd be happy.
Matt broke up a pass. I had Bud run a route over the middle, and you broke it up. Showed some athleticism there. Didn't punt the ball as well as I thought you would.
No, I think my punt went like 10 yards.
In fairness, he's wearing like these Docksiders, like boat shoes, so he's like essentially punting barefoot, but it was fun.
Was there a 40-yard dash?
God, hell no.
Dalton, I think we need to run.
I think we have to. There was a question last week about who would be run. Tom, I think Tom Hanselman asked it. Who would be faster in the 40-yard dash, me or you?
Yeah.
We'll have to find out.
Yeah, I think that's something that we have to do.
Kyle keeps saying, I think he missed last week and this week. We think he's just phasing himself out. We think we're just going to get like either that is going to be a ransom note at some point. Like, we have Kyle. Pay us in burritos. 7-Eleven burritos. Then we'll realize that it's Kyle writing his own ransom notes. Kyle texted me, said, listen to the scoop. Sorry I missed it. You keep saying that you would beat me in a 40. And I think he said something to the effect of, like, if we ran something slightly longer than a 40, you would do it outlast me. But I think I would beat you in a 40. So, I don't know. But yeah, it was fun. It was fun. Well, maybe we'll organize a media football game. That'd be fun. We were getting in other people's shots. The students at Temple who work for like Al Sports Update and TUTV, we were like blatantly kidding.
Yeah, we definitely looked like
getting
little
in
kids.
Their shot. Poor Bree Hopsass. No, I'm sorry. It was Ashley Portillo was trying to do her stand up, and she's like doing a test in the mic. She's like, the guys from Owl Scoop are currently playing football. So Bud was like a little kid. He's like, that genuinely was a lot of fun. I had a good time. Yeah, it was fun.
Well, that's going to do it for us this week on The Scoop. We will be back next week. We appreciate the questions on the message boards, and thank you for listening, and we will talk to you then.